This episode of the Educated Ignorance Podcast is brought to you by the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. Subscribe to the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network on your favorite podcast platform for the newest episodes of The Data Lab with Professor John Bush and Dennis Mickelson, as well as new episodes every week of Card Subject to Change, our new wrestling podcast with CZ and Nick. And three times a week, releasing episodes on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, the Educated Ignorance Podcast. On Mondays, you will get full breakdowns of the Sunday night football game, as well as a couple quick-hitting topics from some of the NFL action on Sunday. Tuesday will be a quick-hitting reaction of the Monday night football game, as well as a full slate review of the Sunday games, the biggest and broadest topics from the weekend of football, as well as some college football stuff. And, of course, that Tuesday will be the Elite Eight episode each week for the NFL season, where we reveal the top eight teams, according to myself, in the NFL. And then on Friday, we will be releasing each week a big kind of preview for the weekend's games coming up, as well as the Sinister Six podcast every week with Mac Fulton. He will be joining us every week for the Sinister Six, joint venture of NFL games and college games throughout the year. Our best six picks of the weeks. We will also have some betting stuff in there as well, against the spread, over unders, things like that. So stay tuned for those three episodes a week of the Educated Ignorance Podcast here on the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. Coming up on this pod, Danny Peel joins, I can't say returns, but joins the podcast for the first time. We are going to have part one of two of the NBA over-unders pod, gambling pod, all that good stuff. Basically the NBA season preview. Part one of two. We're going to do the Western Conference coming up on this one. I'm really excited for this. Back in the saddle again. The boys are really back. This is going to be fun. So we're recording this Tuesday night, October 11th. We'll see. I'm feeling very, very under the weather. We're going to see if we can get both parts done tonight. If we do, we do. If not, oh well. But this will definitely, that worst, be out before opening night next Tuesday, or I believe next Wednesday. Next Tuesday, I think, is opening night. So we got 7 days to release this. But regardless, I'm excited for it. Part one, Western Conference, NBA preview. Buckle up. You know what time it is. Let's get it. Well, we're back. We're more back than we've ever been. Danny Peel, you're officially on the pod.
Hashtag the return.
The return. Wheezy baby.
Snack, crackle, pop.
We're drinking fluids. You're drinking different types of fluids. I'm not bronchitis Bill, but we're something. Yeah. How you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling a lot better, man. I'm sorry I gave whatever I had to you.
I guess you were kind of feeling something, weren't you, last week at some during the week, right?
Oh, was it Saturday or Sunday? I felt like death.
You felt a little weird Saturday night, you said, when we got back from moving.
Yeah, when I'm napping, man, that's how you know life's not right.
Because you came back.
I'm not a napper.
Oh, yeah, you napped on Sunday during the second Sunday.
Okay, then it was Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. Obviously, when you left Saturday, and then I came back and then left again, so you were doing nothing. Though the house was dark as hell when I came back Saturday, so you were...
Yeah.
So I knew you were doing shit. All right, so we got the over-under pod. We're going to do the... We're going to split this into two parts. We're a week away. We're recording this October 11th, Tuesday night. I just did, like, my own version of the Book of Basketball. I think six pages, three, four... six pages. About four of them are front and back.
I feel like it took Bill Simmons a lot longer to do the Book of Basketball than
like 4 hours. But
that's your guy, man. I can't believe you took a shot at him already.
I didn't. That I wasn't know. Like a shot at him.
I know. I get it, bro. I get it.
I've taken two. He's calling himself.
He did Times New Roman. You did left-handed.
I know. Yeah. left-handed. That's good. That's nice. But, yeah, so we're going to do each conference by divisions just to make it easier so we're not, like, bouncing around on an entirely random concept.
Okay.
We're going to start with the Pacific Division. What I got here kind of lined up is each team's odds. And, obviously, the main thing we'll do is predict their win total, key additions, key losses, stuff like that. So... Of course, the first team we're going to start in the Pacific Division. We're going to start with the defending champs, the Golden State Warriors. They're, of course, like we said, won the title last year, beating the Boston Celtics in six games. Their win total is set at 52.5. They are plus 100 to the over, 122 to the under. Plus 320 to win the West, plus 190 to win the Pacific. Plus 700 to win the title. That's the third best odds, tops in the Western Conference. Minus 1800 to make the playoffs. Plus 370 for the play-in. Their additions on the year, mainly their biggest one was a re-sign in Kevon Looney. Their second biggest, I would say, was an actual free agent get in Dante DiVincenzo, which is one that could very well be a dividend for them, considering one of their biggest losses was Gary Payton Jr., or Gary Payton II. They also lost Otto Porter, Damian Lee, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Nate Bielitsa, all those rotation guys. They also drafted Patrick Baldwin with the 28th pick. Interesting prospect, was one of the top high school players in the country and ended up signing to play with his dad at University of Milwaukee and had a really weird season. Ended up getting picked 28th. So, the Warriors' win total, as we said, 52.5. I don't know where the biggest story, obviously, with this team as of late, Danny, is the Jordan Poole Draymond Green incident.
I was going to say, what are the odds they trade Draymond before then?
I don't know. I don't exactly know where that's going to land. Draymond basically said he was going to step away from the team. What does that really mean? Is he going to just kind of be away for a little bit? Is it kind of their way of suspending him without him actually being suspended? Does it mean they're trying to trade him? I don't know.
I think since the video came out, you got to suspend him. You got to give him a slap on the wrist or something. You can't just, you know.
Yeah.
He's a leader. You can't just let the rookies, you know, pimp smack other rookies. That's just not the organization for that.
Especially them, they try to run their stuff. It's so wild what had happened, and then the fact that the video came out, it feels like this could
have... Silent assassin, Draymond Green. Yeah. No audio, no nothing.
Hey, that man's got a mean right hook, though.
Uh-huh.
It's wild that this actually even just got out. You would think something like this should have just been left under wraps as best as you could.
That's Michigan on Michigan crime, ain't it?
Michigan State.
Yeah.
Dre went to Michigan State. Poole went to Michigan.
Isn't Michigan State in Michigan?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the college rivalry. Maybe he was talking heat. Maybe Poole was like, hey, yo, man, I made the Final Four. Or I made a national title game. You didn't. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I heard it was about pay, and that makes a lot of sense to me.
Could be, because Jordan Poole is looking to get a contract. So here's my thing with the 52.5. Everyone loves the Warriors. Everyone thinks I hate the Warriors. So anytime that I mention, look, they cashed in all their chips at the right opportunity to win a title last year. They took advantage of everything that came in front of them. They got the Nuggets with Jokic and a G League roster. They, in round two, got the Grizzlies where they were down. Grizzlies lost in six, but Ja got hurt after game three. In that stretch of the final three games, they had a horrific call go against Memphis, which instantly led to them winning game four. They lost by 50 in game five, and they were in a dogfight in game six until the Grizzlies missed every shot in the final 6 minutes. Then they play Luka, and nobody else played well against the Mavs in game five, or in 1 and 5. Then in the finals, they're down 2-1. The Celtics play the worst 6 minutes of their season, and then never recover and lose three straight, and Golden State wins the title. a lot of weird things happen. You have the Andrew Wiggins revelation. Jordan Poole has these good games, then he has these terrible games. So many weird things happen, but it all kind of just aligned perfectly for them to win the title. It's why I feel the under is the play, but where do you look at them coming? Do you feel like people are too high on them? Do you feel like people are just right on them? Everyone's like, oh, it's the Warriors. They're back. I'm like, no, they're not.
52 and a half?
I think it's a lot.
I feel like you can't say they're not back, man, because they already won.
Yeah, but people...
I feel like that's what you're supposed to do.
That's fair.
In order to be back.
People are going to expect... Like, people just want to believe that, oh, they're this dominant team. It's like, no, what they did was Steph had one of the greatest stretch finals ever, and they were able to cash in the chips that they had to win a championship, which was impressive. Do I believe that they are the favorites in the West? Like, it seems like it's lining up. I don't think they should be.
Yeah, I don't think they should be the favorites. Is that the highest total?
They're the highest total in the West.
For wins?
They're tied for the highest total in the West wins with a couple other teams that we're actually going to get to right away. And they have the highest title odds in the West.
Here's the thing with me, man. I don't think they give a shit about being first place in the conference.
That's why I'm big on the under too, because I don't think they care about like getting the one seed.
No, they shouldn't. I think this year, because it's kind of like a passing of the torch. It's coming sooner or later. They got a lot of young guys that are on the rise, and I think they're going to get more shine this year. So I don't think 52.5 is going to be in their sights.
Their goal is going to be to try to see how many of these guys we can actually manage to
develop, stay healthy.
To either
find a good matchup to be with. I think that's big for them.
Yeah, and it's another thing. It's going to be, we're going to find out if we think these guys can play, or we can do enough to see if we can package them for a better player. Here's the one thing, other than obviously winning the title. Because at the end of the day, the one thing about last year's title win for them is you have to appreciate the greatness of Steph.
Right.
And the greatness of that organization as a whole. Because they could have cashed a lot of those chips that they have in with some of the draft picks they made to try to just bolster and get another guy. And what they didn't do, they didn't waste that depth that they really needed to win the title. They didn't waste trading guys like Poole or Wiseman. Granted, Wiseman didn't play, but Kuminga, Moody, Wiggins. Wiggins was their second best player last year. Yeah. And anyone who doesn't think that is batshit. Wiggins was so important for that title run. And
All-Star game starter.
True. But in the playoffs, he was so, so important. And he was so good, especially in those final two series against Dallas and then Boston.
Exactly right, man. He was just what they needed. He was even scoring the ball, man. He was efficient. He obviously had some highlight dunks and stuff like that, but he was just getting it done defensively.
He had a big scoring game, and I think game one against Dallas. He in game five, which is the swing game, it's 2-2. He had, what, like 24 and 17 against Boston? And then he was guarding Tatum and Brown at just saying, come at me. Everything that he did in that finals was amazing to just be enough to where Steph had to have those few magical moments and then rein it in. So are you with me here on the under, though? Because I'm with – the thing you said that I agree with the most is they aren't going to be too worried about trying to clip the one seed. I think – and even at 51 wins – or 52 wins here, the under still cashes, which I think is nice.
Yeah, I'll take the under.
All right, so we'll go with the under here for both of us. Under lock. Boy unders to start this pod. Next up might be the team that I think. I mean, you already know they're the team I am leaning towards winning the title this year. It is the Los Angeles Clippers. Last year, of course, the season from hell. For the most part, they lost in the play-in to the Pelicans after losing to Minnesota. The backstory behind them losing to the Pelicans is Paul George doesn't play in that game. He got COVID right before the game, so he was ruled out. Their win total as well is 52.5 minus 110 for both sides. They are plus 750 to win the title, tied for fourth, plus 330 to win the conference, minus 2200 to make the playoffs, minus 370. To make the play-in, or plus 370 to make the play-in, and plus 195 to win the division. Key additions, John Wall, that signing, they got John Wall. They re-signed Nick Batum, Zubac, and extended Robert Covington after that trade deadline move where they pretty much got him and Norman Powell for peanuts from the Blazers. And then they did lose a role player that I liked, the Knicks, Isaiah Hartenstein. He's a guy that I thought played well last year, and the Knicks got him, which I think is a nice move. But otherwise, man, Kawhi Leonard is back. He's already playing in some preseason games and looking good. This team, the biggest thing that I'm on this team, Danny, is because they are due for positive regression.
Yeah, it's never happened.
It's just that and, like, everything that could go wrong for them has. I don't, like, the 2000, the bubble thing is what it is. Like, you have that moment. But 2021, they very well could have won the title. Kawhi was playing the best basketball of his career. He was putting up literally Shaq-style points and field goal percentage numbers as a forward in the series against the Mavs and then the four games he played before he blew his knee out against Utah. They beat Utah anyway without him. They take the Suns, who went to the finals, to six regardless. Then the next year, it's just Kawhi's out for the year. Paul George ends up getting he got a baseball injury. He tore his UCL and then came back and then obviously got COVID for the play-in game that they lost to New Orleans. They're deep. The only thing that I worry about is the too many mouths to feed thing. But other than that, I love this roster. They are literally built to win in the NBA today. And I think that's why I'm so heavy on them as my title favorites.
They do have a lot of mouths to feed, but I think there's a clear-cut order. I really like PG-13 coming out and saying that Kawhi is the number one, and he's definitely the Robin to his Batman. I like the John Wall addition to this team.
I was going to ask, what's your thought on the John Wall thing? Because I think a lot of people want to make it what it's not. But I think it's a nice no-pressure situation that you can have him find his way, right?
Yeah, and when he was healthy, man, he was one of the best playmakers in the league, and he knows how to get the ball to guys in their spots. I mean, think about the guys he got paid. He got Marcin Gortat.
Deal. He got that man bags, bro. And, I mean, he doesn't even have to be their best point guard because they still got Reggie Jackson. They have Marcus Morris. I just like a lot of the stuff that they have on this roster. Of course, we said Powell and Robert Covington.
They're the deepest team, I think.
And you need wings. It's a wings league, as they say, and you need wings, and they're the best. They have the most wings in this league.
And like you said, they got Norman Powell and Robert Cove for nothing.
Absolutely nothing. It was an absolute steal of a deal. I'm going to – the over-under is weird for them, too, because it's like how do you expect them to kind of handle the regular season with making sure guys are there – and they're so deep, too, you can actually afford to rest guys and probably still compete and win games.
Yep.
I'm going to go over because I expect them to be in the 55-win range and, like, one of the top three seeds. I'm going to give you my prediction for the one seed here soon. And I don't know if you're going to either shit yourself or agree with me. But, I'm going to go over. It's going to be a slightly over. I think they kind of hang out in the 55-win range.
This one's really tough, man, because you know Kawhi invented load management.
He is the godfather of load management.
But, yeah, man, I think I have to take the over, too.
As much as
I want to not agree with you, Kawhi's my guy, man. It's hard for me to say anything bad about the guy, but when you're not playing, you're not playing ball. I think even if he does sit out, they got enough firepower for them to get 52.5.
Because the thing that they actually do with him is they don't like just sit him against, like, it's kind of random, but they also sit him against bad teams and they have him play against good ones. So like I think that even if he sits against some of the lower teams in the league, you know, their one-off trip to Charlotte, things like that, and whatnot, they're still deep enough to where they can still win games like that.
I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he's been working out. He's been doing a lot of leg presses.
It's a big boy.
I was about to say, my man's quads are beefy.
He's bussing, as they say. And that's a word you do not like.
I'm not saying that.
All right, let's move on to the Phoenix Suns. Last year, losing in seven in round two to Dallas in hilarious fashion.
This is the one I'm most looking forward to, I think.
Our over-under is 52.5 as well. They are plus 1,100 to win the title, which is the sixth best odds. 110 minus 110 on each side of the over-under on this, so you're not really getting any juice, which is a little shocking to me, and we'll get to that. Plus 430 to win the conference, plus 200 to win the division, minus 4,500 for the playoffs. They have the best odds to make the playoffs in the West.
Okay.
Which is odd to me. A little bit.
Does that mean, that's pretty much just saying they have the highest floor? Is that not what that means?
I guess. Yeah, more or less. Minus 4,500 to make the playoffs. Plus 380 to make the play-in. Additions. No, like, really additions. They extended D-Book. They re-signed DeAndre Ayton. They did lose, though, some big depth. JaVale and Frank Kaminsky. I want you to go first, because my take might be a little bit interesting.
I don't think they're going to get there, man.
Okay, so we might be on the same page here again.
I don't think so.
That play.
I think D. Ayton's really upset. I think a man's in prison, basically, in Phoenix.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
That man should be on the Pacers right now.
I don't think I'd wish that upon anybody. But
they're in a great spot. The Pacers are in a fantastic. They'd be in a better spot with DeAndre Ayton, but they are in a fantastic spot. They got some really good pieces for the future.
Yeah, for the future, man.
They're bad, but they're not league pass blacklist bad. There's a small amount of teams on the league pass blacklist.
I mean, the NBA is in the best spot it's ever been, by far.
Yeah, we're just rolling where every team is almost every team is watchable.
And it's only getting better.
Yeah. The plus 380 for the play-in, Danny, that's some nice juice that you could get. Because there's a realistic chance where this team falls to the seventh spot.
Yeah, I just think I think they're having a fall from grace, man. I think when your daddy, Luka Doncic, pimp smash you into oblivion pretty much, I think that's tough.
Their window was clearly open for a small period of time, and they missed it. They walked through it initially, like they were climbing through the window, and Giannis slammed it so hard that it cut their leg off. They got drugged back. They got prepared. There was a tourniquet put on them. And then they started to walk back through that door again. And then Luka was became, you know, he's Slovenian. He got some trained sniper courses. And from about 2 miles away, he drilled D-Book and CP3 between the eyes as they tried to walk through the window the second time.
He was at target practice with the Jokic brothers.
Yep, exactly. And now everyone's sitting there like, oh my God, do we actually go through the window again? What is happening? Why is the window cursed? The Suns, I don't know, man. Under. I think this is a 47-ish at best win team, and 47 wins in the West. It's going to be so jumbled, I think. Like, 47, between 47 and 45 wins is going to be between, like, the 4 seed and the 9 seed, I think.
I will say this, too. If there's any team that shouldn't care about the regular season, it's Phoenix. Because the way they performed in the playoffs.
Considering a year ago, they were the best team in the league by a mile, and they ended up having nothing to show for it. So you're on the under as well?
Absolutely.
We're going to...
I think that's the easiest one we've done so far.
Yeah, I think so. We're both going to disagree eventually. But, yeah, it's... What is the main thing with them that you're feeling the problem with? Just the vibes? Because that's the biggest thing for me. It's kind of vibes. It's also like, how is CP3 going to, you know, when's another big-time injury for him? Their depth isn't as good as it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, CP3's older. I mean, he's going to impact the game until he retires just by what a leader he is and how he can get those young guys. But I think people forget what they were like before CP3 was there, man. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have CP3, you got an emotional lesbian, a bitch of a man.
He is
your team.
He's hell. Hey, he's really good at playing basketball, though.
Yeah,
he's really good.
There's a lot of people that are good at basketball, but they don't advance far.
I know. Devin Booker just makes it harder and harder on himself every day to.
He's got too much estrogen. I don't know what water he's drinking, but he needs to switch.
Don't tell us to drink that water. All right, Lakers missed the playoffs a year ago. 44.5, the over-under total. Plus 120 to the over. Minus 122 to the under. There is value on taking the under. Or there's value on taking the over, even though I wouldn't probably do it. I don't know. This is a weird one for me because this team has like 37 different variables. They're plus 2,000 to win the title. They're 10th best odds. I think that's wild. I think that's batshit. Plus 1,100 to win the conference. Plus 950 to win the division. They have minus odds to make the playoffs, which, again, is nuts to me. Minus 120 to make the play-in. You ready for, do you want to name do you want to name the teams you think are better in the West before or after I tell you who they added and who they lost, because it's a long list?
I think there's a lot of teams better than them or tied for their spot.
These are the guys that they added this year. Stop me when you think I named someone that's going to make a difference. Patrick Beverley, Lonnie Walker.
I think PBev can make an impact. Every team he goes to gets in the playoffs, bro.
I guess. Hey, remember, AD and LeBron get to play with him because he made the playoffs last year.
I just love that meme where he's got his shirt off and he won the play-in game, and it's like he won the title.
I know.
I just picture D-Wade on the scores table.
Yeah, when he hit that shot against the Bulls. Every time. Lonnie Walker, who was literally the worst advanced stats starter in the league last year.
I think they have guys that can make an impact, but it's going to be really hard on that team because they don't have the pieces that they need.
No.
They have a nice-looking puzzle, but the pieces don't fit together.
I was just about to say, they have a 1,000-piece puzzle, but none of the pieces... It's from 1,000 different puzzles.
Uh-huh.
Thomas Bryant, which, a guy I like, and they need big depth, but so I like that. Juan Toscano-Anderson, Max Christie, not a guy I liked at Michigan State. They lost Malik Monk, Craig Bazemore, THT, who's terrible, Stanley Johnson, who was only good because he actually looked like a decent player on the Lakers. Look, man, I can easily name 10 teams probably in the West that I actually like trajectory-wise more than them. It's rough for this group. Now, if they would have actually pulled the trigger on trading for Kyrie, though, I don't understand why the story never was, if the Nets actually accepted the Russ and 2 picks for Kyrie deal, they were fucking nuts. Like, I don't know why anyone never said that.
Yeah, they'd basically be rebuilding again.
It's like, why?
Uh-huh. I think that was just for the memes, pretty much, to have Kyrie and LeBron. And
it's because people wanted
KD and Russ back together.
And people wanted LeBron to actually not be stuck with maybe the guy who's the worst player in the league right now.
Do you think when LeBron retires, Kyrie's just going to retire too?
I don't know, man.
Weird. But that's how everybody ties them together. I don't like it.
Everyone did say that he was like Kyrie's father figure that one year.
Me saying Kyrie's his own man might be the biggest undersell I've ever said, but that guy is his own man.
Yeah. He's an enigma. I
bet KD and Kyrie get baked and watch like YouTube conspiracy videos like all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. That's amazing.
They got to. I want to see what his algorithm looks like.
Inspiration. they're like, bro, Frank Sinatra's a city boy. Like, what are we talking about? We're in a simulation.
Sensational.
How do we get on the Nets? This Lakers team is such a hodgepodge of potpourri bullshit. I don't like anything about them.
I like that word.
Potpourri?
Yeah.
It's a mixture of bad things.
Sounds like you put oregano on that thing.
Yeah, put some bad Italian seasoning on it. Listen, they can hit the over here and be like the 6 seed if AD stays healthy. You know, if we get if we get 60 games from him. But even the hardest LeBron supporters think this Lakers team is going to be bad. I don't see a path where this team is...
I think the LeBron supporters want this team to be bad because, therefore, it makes LeBron look better.
That he's just averaging amazing points on a horrendous team. Or, like, dragging them to be decent.
Yeah.
The most fun thing this year is going to be just when watching the Lakers is going to be relishing in the fact that we're watching maybe the 3 best players in the history of basketball perform in what could very well be his last really good season.
It's a possibility, man. I mean, from LeBron standards, it could be his last really good season. I think he's still going to have really good seasons after this year, but
I just think
the bar's so damn high, man.
No, I know. I'm just saying I think he's going to try to churn out one more like high-level year, like kind of not – I mean, maybe last year, who averages 30 a game at 37 or whatever, but something like that, because I think he's going to do everything it takes to break the Kareem record. So where are you at here, over or under? I'm going to go under just because I don't trust it. I can't trust it. I'm not going to trust this team to win 45 games.
I don't trust it either, but I'm going over, man. I think they got a lot to prove. I'm hoping AD has a hell of a bounce-back season. I hope that man's healthy. He doesn't throw out his back giving high fives to LeBron.
All right, our first disagreement. Lastly here, the feisty Sacramento Kings. Missed the playoffs a year ago. 33.5 is the win total. They are minus 132 to the over, plus 108 to the under, which I think is the right call. The odds here, I think they absolutely should be favored to be higher than 33. 15,000, plus 15,000 to win the title, obviously not going to happen. Plus 18,000 to win the conference, 24,000 to win the division, 3.5 to 1 to make the playoffs, plus 120 to make the play-in. I think this team is a feisty play-in team. I have over additions, Danny. They draft Keegan Murray. More on him in a moment. They trade for Kevin Huerter. Underrated move. Hawks are trying to kind of figure their life out of it. They also get Malik Monk. They do lose DiVincenzo and Mo Harkless, but I like the Kevin Huerter maneuver. And I think Keegan Murray is going to be Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. That's a hot take coming from you, Orlando boy.
I think he's going to put up the best numbers on the best team with a rookie that was at the top of the class.
I think he's got one of the best fits for him.
Which is going to help. I think Paolo's going to be right there, but I think the fact that he's going to be producing numbers on... Because I do think a lot of the reason Scotty Barnes, as great as he is, won Rookie of the Year was the fact that he was there the second, third at worst. He was the third best player at worst on a team that was the five seed in the East last year. So I think the Kings are going to be very sneaky 7-10 seed, and I think he's going to be the best. He's going to be on the best team of one any of these rookies, other than maybe Jaden Ivey. But I don't think Ivey will have the best numbers. He won't have better numbers than Cade. So I think, you know, not saying that Murray's going to have better numbers than Sabonis or Fox, but we didn't even mention Sabonis or Fox.
Sabonis was an all-star.
We were wondering, too, like, when would De'Aaron Fox kind of figure some stuff out? When they moved Halliburton and they had the Sabonis and Fox combination really works. It kind of unlocked some stuff from Fox that we liked early in his career that kind of started to go away once they drafted Halliburton. I just like kind of the direction the Kings are starting to go in. It seems like they're finally making some smart decisions.
I really like Sabonis, man. I think next to Jokic, he's the best passing big in the league. I think they got a lot of guys that are really good off ball, drafting Keegan Murray, get Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, man. I think they got a lot of shooting. Fox is a hell of a playmaker. He likes to get out on the open floor, find some open shooters, and he's got them now.
That he does. And the Huerter move, Malik Monk, like you said, they got guys that can shoot. I don't think this is a team that can make the playoffs. I think it would be smart to sprinkle some dust on some play-in action.
I think 33.5, too low. I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I'm taking the over as well. I like what this Kings team is going to bring. It's going to be fun to watch this year. They're going to be feisty as shit. And I believe that they absolutely could have a better record than the Lakers this year, which you don't think so, but I think that's very well a possibility. There's a world that exists where the Lakers finish last in the Pacific, which will be hilarious.
I think the Lakers have the biggest range between ceiling and floor almost.
I think
a lot depends on
outside of the Nets, yes. Outside of the Nets, no one other. They're the in right. The East, they have the biggest pendulum swing. Mm. I'm with you on that one. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the Northwest Division. I had to remember which one was next. We'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by The Corner Tap. Who doesn't need a solid handcuff on their fantasy squad? Grab a bite to eat at Clint's Draft House while watching the noon games, and then head on over across the Moline Rock Island border to The Corner Tap for some libations during the 3 o'clock games. Every Sunday is fun day at The Corner Tap with $3 tall boys, Bloody Marys, Jack Daniels, and $2 PBR drafts. Head into The Corner Tap, 4018 14th Avenue, Rock Island, and get into the end zone. All right, we're back. Time for the Northwest Division. Danny Peel.
Yes, sir.
The Denver Nuggets.
The Golden Nuggies.
Last year, losing in 5 in round 1 versus Golden State. Their over under is their win total 51.5. They have the 7th best odds to win the title, believe it or not, plus 1800, plus 850 to win the West. More on that in a moment. Minus 160 to win the division, minus 950 to make the playoffs, plus 210 to make the play-in. Additions. Made a lot of good moves.
They have one of my favorite moves of this offseason. That's because I stand for that guy, though.
Ish?
I mean, just because of his name, but in terms of actual game, no.
Okay. It's either Bruce Brown or KCP.
It's Bruce Brown, man.
I was gonna say,
I love that guy.
Bruce Brown, I've always kind of been in and out on him, but watching him produce the way he did in the playoffs, I know they got swept, but like he was their second most consistent player.
I think he's one of the best. I think he's a star role player. I think he's one of the best guys you can have if you've got other options. That
exactly the type of guy this team needs.
He's such a good cutter. That's probably one of my favorite things to do is watch Bruce Brown cut.
And now he gets to play with Buck and Jokic.
Yeah.
And look, a guy that a lot of people might laugh at, but he's a champion now, and he's a guy that's really good. KCP on this team is a fucking amazing move. Defensive guard for this group. Like, getting those two guys, Bruce Brown and KCP, I love it. Ish Smith, I like it because it kind of replaced. It doesn't exactly replace because Monty Morris is really good, but they lost Monty Morris. They did draft two guys that I'm interested to see how they develop. I like them. Christian Brown from Kansas, Peyton Watson, freshman from UCLA. As we said, they lost Monty Morris, Will Barton, Jamichael Green, and Austin Rivers. Those were all role players they lost.
I like Ish Smith because he's been on so many different teams. I feel like he's got so many jerseys, he should own his own cotton field.
Like he should start his own.
He's been on like 11 teams, 11 or 12 teams.
He should start his own version of Temples, bro. Just call it Ishes.
Ishes?
Yeah.
I'd shop at Ishes.
You would? All right. So.
The best name ever.
We can obviously, and this, I mean, you probably know where I'm about to go. Plus 850 to win the West, top seed. That's a lot of candy, buddy, and I will gladly take that. I think the Nuggets are going to be the one seed.
Yeah, I got them up there. I'm trying to think of who I would have ahead of them, but I'd have to convince myself. I think they have a lot to prove. I know I said that a lot, but they have a lot of dudes coming back from injury, especially their second and third option. I seen something the other day. It was that MPJ, before he got hurt, he was having the most effective field goal percentage of all time.
He was playing well. And
Ever.
The Jamal Murray thing.
They compared him to Wilt. And you know what I say when you get compared to Wilt?
I mean,
You're on Mount Olympus, bro.
Exactly.
You're getting compared to Zeus.
You pretty much. You, Wilt, Zeus, and Hercules all just hanging out at the same table.
And MPJ.
And Michael Porter Jr. now. The Jamal Murray back, ready to roll. This is a team that I think could absolutely win 60-plus games in the regular season because I think they're going to have more talent, more willpower, and just more guys that are willing to be able to go on a night-to-night basis. And I guess the question after that is, does that mean Jokic actually has the chance to be a three-time MVP winner in a row? He does, but I don't think he would have to average ridiculously. He would have to average close to a triple-double. Or, like, over a triple-double to win the third straight MVP.
I don't think we're going to see another three consecutive MVPs again. I think it's a lot, man. In the social media age, that's like winning, like, 5 in a row.
But if he came out, like, if they won 62 games, say they go 62-20, and he averaged 34-11-10.
He's not averaging 34.
He averages, what, 28 already?
So you think he's going to get 6 more points a game, and he's going to have a second and third option back?
All right, fine. I'll be realistic. Like, that is a lot. All right, 29. Let's say 29, 11, and 10.
I think his assists are going to go up.
And he's more efficient.
He's going to be more efficient because he's got better players. He's not playing with a broken down long chair and guys we don't pick up at Mitchell.
Exactly. And that's the really look. Do I? It's kind of like if you listened to the NFL podcast. When we did the over-unders, the team that I liked that was a little out there to be the one seed in the NFC was the Minnesota Vikings. And my theory was, a lot of different things. I thought a lot of stuff they were having was improvement, but it was more of a, I believe they can have a really good record and be the one seed in a conference without really me thinking they're a team that can win the title. Now, I would believe Denver would be one of the five or six teams, if they ended up the one seed, that I would feel could win the title. Because having to go, having home court in Denver, that's something. That's not nothing. And obviously, they made the conference finals a couple years ago, and they've shown that they can win a lot with Jokic and guys out. Now, and in 2020, a lot of people thought they were going to potentially win the West before Jamal Murray got hurt. Don't you think? It felt like a lot, or 2021, a lot of people felt like that was going to happen. And then Jamal gets blows his knee out in March, and then it just never recuperated.
You like to use the pendulum analogy quite often. I think it halted, but it's definitely swinging in the right direction, man. They're so young, and they got so much talent, and not only that, they're going to get more reps together, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think 51.5, I'm taking the over. I think this would be the time to do my joke now. I don't know if I was going to do it now or later, but I'll do it now.
Go ahead.
So, you're American
uh-huh.
when you go to the bathroom.
Okay.
And when you get done going to the bathroom,
yeah,
you're still American.
Yeah.
But what were you while you were in the bathroom?
You were European.
European.
You're so stupid. Here's a team next up that traded for one of them Europeans in the offseason, and boy, oh boy, did they trade a lot for him. The Minnesota Timberwolves. Last year, losing in six in round one against the Memphis Grizzlies. Probably the best playoff series we had last year. At least in the first round.
Yeah. That was a fun one to watch, man, regardless.
Their over-under is at 48.5. Minus 122 to the over, plus 100 juice to the under. So there's a lot of stuff in here, numbers-wise, where if you want to fade the Wolves this year, like that plus 100, like plus odds on the under, if you're a fading the Wolves guy, that's some good juice there. But they have the 14th best title odds at plus 2,800, plus 1,400 to win the West, plus 155 to win the Northwest Division, minus 340 to make the playoffs, plus 145 to make the play-in. Of course, we said and noted they went out and got Rudy Gobert, but that's not all they got. They got some good stuff, man. They recuperated. People want to just think they gave their entire roster away for Rudy and draft picks. They did, but they recuperate well. They get Rudy Gobert, of course. They go out and get Kyle Anderson. Really nice piece. They go out and get Austin Rivers. Nice guard depth. They draft Wendell Moore, kid from Duke, I think could be really nice. And they have shown their willingness to play young guys like a Jared Vanderbilt last year.
I think since they got Rudy, I think Jared Vanderbilt's value for them gets reduced.
Yeah, but I still like the role that he can have.
Yeah, but he's on the team. I'd rather him be on my team than not.
Yeah, I do agree with what you're saying. Because he was kind of like their four. Now they're going to be playing Rudy and Kat together. It's going to be interesting to see how it works. But I think this also, I think they're going to split their minutes a lot. We're going to get to that in a second. They lose Malik Beasley, of course, Pat Bev in the deal. So I want to start with that. We talk about a lot of schematics for basketball. How would you handle it? Obviously, in crunch situations, you're going to play them both. But you have the ability to stagger their minutes. Because you have big guys you trust, like Jared Vanderbilt. You have nice guard depth. We obviously know Anthony Edwards is a future top, probably 12 player in the league. He is amazing. What are your thoughts on the Rudy trade? How would you handle it? And what are you interested in seeing the most on how they handle the situation?
I like their fit for the most part, man. But my biggest gripe with them, I was thinking about this in the backyard. They probably have the number one thing I want to see happen, which is I want to see D'Lo get traded.
Yeah, it's the one thing.
I think that guy needs a boot. I think he needs a Nike print on his butt.
The reason for – I agree with you. You just broke Blake Ringer's heart, but I've been telling him I do not want D'Lo on this team because you have guys that you need to get the ball to, and they don't have that type of distributor.
Right.
Like, if they had – if this team had Rondo.
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of guard they need that is willing to let guys eat. And D'Lo is not that guy. Like, there's just so, he was really bad last year in the playoffs. And the biggest thing that I'm interested to see is how that fit still works. It's wild that they either didn't try to trade him or they just didn't find a partner for him.
He's got a fat deal too, man. They'd free up a lot of cap.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, his deal's about to be up. He's only got
like
one.
Like this year?
I think this is the last year of his contract. But yeah, man, they very rough that. But I think that's why you go out. You already have like Jerry McLaughlin, who they really like as kind of their backup one. But I think that's why they also go out and get a guy like Austin Rivers. They draft Wendell Moore. But you get Austin Rivers because you know you the line and the leash is really short when it comes to D'Angelo Russell. So you get Austin Rivers, a guy with playoff experience, a guy you trust in that situation, to possibly be an extra guard out there in minutes that matter when you get into the spring.
Yeah, I like that pickup, man. I think that's good for him. I think he gets undeserved criticism, Austin Rivers.
Yeah, it is. Well, everyone hates his dad, so everyone's going to hate him as well, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works.
I've suffered from that.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. All right, what are you feeling? 48.5? It's an interesting line. The juice is on the under. A lot of people are going to want to fade this team because they don't think that fit works. And real quick, on the Rudy Gobert cat thing, if there's any big guy in the league that I am excited to see play with another really bit, like a really, like a true center in Rudy and bumping to the four, it's Cat because of his game, his play style, his elite shooting. And I think Rudy, hopefully, will be able to kind of be, you know, appreciated again as a high level defender inside. And not having to be that team's ultimate option in the post, either, offensively.
Yeah, I think they can coexist. I really like Cat's passing, man. I think he's an underrated playmaker. I think Cat would be able to find him from the high post and hit Rudy in the dunker spot.
That's the thing. The Jazz never pass. It's not like Rudy's is great. Let's throw the ball into him and let him go to work. The Jazz just also, they don't even dunk it off to him. They never passed him the fucking ball.
Right.
And now you got Ann Edwards, you got McLaughlin, you got Rivers, you got Cat even that can get him the ball. I think the fit's going to be fun to see, and I think it can work.
Here's what I was thinking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if Mutombo played today, he would get as much hate as Gobert?
Mutombo?
Mutombo. I think that's his comp.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be. Maybe. I don't know. That's a good question.
Because everybody in the 90s swore Mutombo was the best defender. He was the second coming of Bill Russell. He was able to do this. He's able to do that. Not very skilled offensively, and I think that's what we see with Rudy Gobert now. But times are different, man.
Yeah, Mutombo wasn't being forced to switch pick and rolls and guard guys like John Morant, guys like Steph. He wasn't being, they weren't being stuck in that situation. And here's the thing, too, with the Jazz, man. Teams are killing them going five out because they had horrific wing defenders. And the Jazz got picked on.
I mean, the Timberwolves aren't great defensively, but they're better than Utah.
Exactly. All right, I'm going to go. 48.5 is a tough line. I wish it was like at 46.5. I'd feel a lot better. But I'll go over. I'll go slightly over. I don't feel great about it.
Is that an option on FanDuel? Slightly over?
Look, 49 wins cashes.
Yeah.
So.
Because it's over.
It's over. But 48 wins doesn't. 48 wins cashes if you pick the under.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how math works.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I'm going to go over too, man.
Okay.
I don't want to agree with you, but I think you've been pretty right so far.
The reason I say stuff like that is because, you know, we're talking about, when I talk about like football spreads,
yeah,
it's like, all right, we're taking this team by 5.5. Well, guess what? If they lose 27-24, we win because we have two more points left on the cover. So that's my analogy when I use betting lines and terminology. All right, next. Out of the teams we have left in the West, maybe this is the most interesting team other than like the Pelicans. This is the most interesting team we're going to talk about, not because of how good they're going to be, but because of some of the guys they have, and it's the Portland Trailblazers. Missed the playoffs a year ago. They were good in the beginning of the year, and then all of a sudden they realized, like, oh, shit, we need to start tanking. We need to really start tanking, and they tanked. They did a fantastic job of not giving a shit about winning games in the final 2 months of the season.
It's an art form now, man.
It was. Might be an art. It's going to be it's going to be a fucking Olympic sport post once we get into January this year. The teams that know they're out of it are going to be like, we are out of it.
I'm going to wait to see two teams that are tanking play each other, and they're probably just going to switch hoops.
That's amazing. Could you imagine? Oh my god.
They're going to be guarding the other basket.
That's the best thing you've ever said. They're going to switch hoops. Oh, that's great. That is great, because I'm just imagining like the fucking Hornets and the Wizards playing each other in March.
Not even them, bro. I feel like those. Anyway,
yeah. I think those teams are going to be terrible. All right, so Portland, they missed the playoffs a year ago. Their over-under is 39.5. -110 on either side, so no real value. They are +10,000 to win the title, +6,500 to win the West, +1,000 to win the division. But here are the actual numbers that probably mean something. +154 to make the playoffs, -140 to make the play-in. So they are favored to make the play-in and be one of the 10, be in that 7-10 range. They didn't really lose anybody of note, but they did add a couple guys that I think are actually solid rotation players. They, of course, drafted Shaedon Sharpe, pick 7. When he will play, who knows? Will he ever play? Maybe he'll just never play basketball again.
A walking question mark, that guy.
Really, really is. They add, though, Jeremy Grant and Gary Payton II. Damian Lillard, of course, coming back.
I feel like you got to add him to the added list.
Pretty much. On a great day, he could be anywhere from the 8th to 15th best player in the league. And on a nightly basis, you know, he is always on league pass watch for, oh shit, Dame just hit his 9th 3 in a row and it's 9 minutes left in the or his 9th 3 and there's 8 minutes left in the third quarter and he's about to get to 50. They sign Anthony Simmons to the 4-year, $100 million contract. Maybe a year too early, but also in that situation, you can't wait, and you got to do it. I actually like the move. I think Simons is really good. The only thing I wonder about was his production last year empty calories on a horrific team that wasn't trying to win? We're going to find that out soon, but I do think he's a good player. All in all, for this Blazers team, 39.5 is...
feel like that's right where it's supposed to be.
It's kind of the first one where we've gone, and it's like, oh, that's the wild thing for like the NFL ones. Every one, it was like, man, I feel like these are right where it's at. It's like this team's 8.5. Shit, that's tough. This is the first one where we've actually had the like, oh, I think this is kind of right where it is. I think this team will be fun to watch. I don't think they're anything close to a playoff team, but I think they're going to be feisty in that play-in area with teams like the Lakers, teams like the Kings.
So you're taking the under? Because obviously 39 is not getting you in.
Could. It could. The back end of the West could be...
Well, I guess they let... You said the play-in.
The play-in.
Yeah. I mean, only 3 teams don't make the playoffs now, so...
It's 4, I think. I thought 11 and 15. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 5. It's 5. 15 in each conference. 11 and 15.
Yeah, you're right.
No.
My bad.
Math. That's all right. I will go...
added additions.
Additive. I will go slightly under, but I'm excited to see how this team progresses. Their ceiling is like the 8 seed. I don't think it's much, but I think they're coming in their steps. Dame obviously is kind of just chosen. He's going to be a Portland lifer. Hey, in a perfect world, here's the honesty, because maybe Dame deserves it. They get the Hail Mary fuck. They make the play in and lose, and then Dame goes to the lottery, and since he's a lifer in Portland and is gonna embrace the grind, he gets the Hail Mary, and they win the lottery and get Vic. That'd be some shit, and I'm for it.
I don't think so.
I just talked myself into them being one of the like 4 teams I want to see get Vic. Because that would be Vic going to play with a guy we know is one of the best like 15 guys in the league.
So you think there's going to be 5 or 6 teams tanking this year,
And you
think and neither are the ones that actually are tanking win the lottery?
Yeah.
Could be. That could be a message to the league. We don't want you tanking. Want you to at least try. Could you imagine? Like, just saying. The lottery's weird, brother.
Yeah.
Either lottery. Like, even if they got, like they probably wouldn't take him, but, like, Scoot, too? They're kind of guard-heavy, but, hey, Scoot on the Blazers would be nice. Not really, because he's kind of a one, but I don't know. I'm just... If they got Vic, it'd be dope. No way it happens, but it'd be really cool. It'd be the pace de resistance. It would be right up there in Blazers' accomplishments with them getting swept in the conference finals by the Warriors
Could you imagine the most hype prospect maybe ever can't even host an all-star game? That's like my favorite stat about Portland.
Is that they'll never host an all-star game?
People, they don't have a hotel big enough to support it.
Hey, man. But they always have the spirit of the 72 championship team with Bill Walton. They'll always have that.
That's my guy.
He is.
That's like my mute card. I can't say anything bad about him.
They'll always have that. I'm going to go under, and I'm going to go the team that would be most hilarious. They are now the wouldn't it be hilarious if
I hate this team.
They made the playoff. They made the play-in.
And get the and number got one. Vic.
Hell yeah. They're the 10 seed. They get smoked by whoever the 9 seed is. And then they fucking get Vic. That is the one to be hilarious.
What if they get the number one pick, but Dame talks him out of it because he loves the grind?
Yes, they trade it. Bro, they imagine if the a team that traded the first pick in this year's draft would get a haul.
They probably get a whole franchise.
You could get like... I'm just saying.
What if they traded him for a hotel big enough to support the All-Star game?
They trade him for all of the
for
acid.
The nicest Holiday Inn in the history of Holiday Inn.
We're trading a guy who might walk into the league, a top 50 player. He might literally walk in and be one of the 50 best basketball players alive.
For a Motel 6 with the light on.
For a Motel 6, bro. We can't get like a Best Western.
I don't think they care what it's called, as long as they get somebody. Kyle Korver got traded for a copy machine.
Hey, man. Oh.
If it got traded for rooms?
Yeah. We can't get a country in and
for space?
We can't get a country in and suites, bro. We can't get a Radisson.
He got traded for emptiness.
Oh, my God. All right, where's you at? Over 139 and a half.
I don't know, man. I kind of want him to get Vic.
Yeah, you just...
No, I'm going under.
Yes.
I got to.
Oh, Lord. That was our best one.
That's so unlikely, too.
I know.
I'm glad Dame's back.
Me, too.
In all seriousness. That guy's a hooper.
Look at you being the professional, reeling us the fuck back in.
The definition of a hooper. Dare we wipe our tears?
No, I'm glad Dame's back too. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to see guys. It'll be fun to see someone legitimately launch a 40 footer in regular play and be like, "Oh, that's okay. I can accept that." Because it's Dame.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to talk about any more thoughts on the Blazers? You ready to move on to two teams that actually are definitely in the hunt for Victor Wembanyama?
Jeremy Grant. Underrated. Might be one of my favorite players.
It's going to be I loved him on Denver. He went to Detroit. He got to have the juice and the feeling of being a good player on a bad team. And then all of a sudden, he kind of became a black stain for me where I don't want a good team to trade for him because he's going to think he's the guy.
He'd be perfect on the Nuggets right now, man.
He would be, but now he thinks he's a guy who should get the ball all the time.
You think he hit his high?
He got the high of being a really good of being a good player on a shit team at the time, and now it's like you can't come back down from that.
No, you can't.
I think he's
a good fit next to Dame, though.
I think so. Because apparently they're really good friends. Okay. There was a part of me too. There was a small portion of the offseason where it felt like the Blazers were going to get DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, I remember that,
and that would have been fun, but they didn't. So that kind of sucks. But they still got Nurkic. It's just there's a lot of teams with a higher ceiling than them in the West. So I think their ceiling is 9-10 seed play-in. All right, let's move on to some really bad basketball teams. Well, one really bad one and one that could be fun, but not this year. Utah Jazz lost in round one to Dallas. Danny Ainge spent the entire offseason saying, we're not getting rid of anybody. You know, we like our roster. Trades Royce O'Neal. Then all of a sudden, Brian Windhorst gets the genie fingers and says, what is happening in Utah? Then Rudy Gobert gets traded about a week later. And then all offseason, we're going to keep Donovan Mitchell. We're going to keep him. Everyone's like, they're not going to trade him. They host the All-Star game this year. No, they're trading him, guys. And they sent Donovan Mitchell to the Cavs. Their over-under total is 24.5. It's very low. Minus value on both, so hey. They are plus 1,000 or higher on everything. Plus 1,000 to make the play-in. So hey, if you bet $100, you could win 1,000 if they get the 10 seed. Their additions are all the pieces they got back and all the trades they made. Their losses was their entire roster that they dealt. Donovan to the Cavs, Rudy to the T-Wolves, Joe Ingles walked and went to the Bucks. Bojan Bogdanovic just got dealt to the Pistons about a week or two ago. Royce O'Neal got walked and signed with the Nets. And Daniel House signed with some team in the East. I think it was Detroit. Don't quote me on that. But I just know
this is going to be another one of those teams that it's going to depend on if their star player, quote unquote, star player gets traded.
So what, you think like a Colin Sexton could get moved now?
I think you're forgetting Jordan Clarkson, bro.
Oh, yeah, he's like the one guy that's left.
They have some scorers.
I don't.
They got Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, and why am I going blank on his name now?
Malik Beasley?
No, I see him. Markkanen, there it is.
Oh, yeah, they got Lauri Markkanen.
They have some guys who can put the ball in the hoop.
They got Ochai Agbaji in that deal, the guy the Cavs drafted at 14 from Kansas. But they got players, like they got some fun stuff. They're, oddly enough, I don't know if they're on the League Pass blacklist. I think there's really only one team on the League Pass blacklist this year, and it might be, well, two, because they're two Eastern teams. They're the two teams I mentioned earlier, and one of them might be because LaMelo Ball is going to get accidentally kidnapped so they can tank for Vic. That's my new inside theory.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, he's not going to start the season.
I don't know, man. I could watch. Never mind. We don't need to talk about that.
We're
on the Jazz, bro.
The Jazz. The Jordan Clarkson. I think Jordan Clarkson should. Absolutely, there needs to be a playoff team that goes out and gets Jordan Clarkson.
Mm-hmm.
He will absolutely. He would fit on the Bucks. He would fit on the Celtics. He would fit on the Cavs as an extra guard. Teams in the West. He would fit on Denver as an extra guard. He'd be a great addition to Minnesota. Obviously, another Jazz guy going to Minnesota. You know, cold like Minnesota. But he. Like, if the Lakers were somehow good enough, that's a move that would make absolute sense because he would easily be their best shooter by a fucking mile.
You said the Lakers?
Yeah. So
if they get the band back together?
That is true. A team like the Suns, like all these teams that are like, all right, short, I know I named the Lakers, but shortlist teams that you think could compete or win a title absolutely should go after Jordan Clarkson. When though, will be the question. But no, I like Colin Sexton. It is unfortunate that it didn't work out in Cleveland.
I think Sexton is going to have a bounce back year.
I think he'll have a good year, and I think it'll be hard for us to kind of navigate the waters of is it a good player on a bad team. But I do think he's a good player. He's not one of the 50 best players in the league, but he's easily somewhere between 60 and 80. I think.
You have to put him at that range.
Absolutely. But all in all, 24.5 is low for a team that actually might have some offensive pop, but they're just going to give up 130 points a game.
I know they're going to try to lose,
but can they? Yeah, they'll lose. I'm going to go under.
They're going under?
Yeah, because a lot at the end of the year, we will look up and there will be more teams than we thought.
A part of me wants to go
under that 24.5, under that 25.
A part of me wants to go over because somebody's got to win basketball games this year. But if your underlying goal for the year is to lose as much as possible, It's hard to bet against that.
Are you saying it's hard to bet against what is now a fundamental flaw in the organization, Danny Peel?
Yeah.
All right, then. We're agreeing so much today. How does that make you feel?
How good are you at being bad?
We're going to find out that, again, once we hit January, teams that are not in it, Olympic sport.
Things that need to be on a t-shirt.
How good are you at being bad? That is one of them. All right.
If I ever get a tramp stamp. No, I'm kidding.
Last real quick before we hit the Southeast Division. We'll take a quick break after this one. Oklahoma City Thunder. Of course, missed the playoffs a year ago. I'm so mad because it was like, all right, this team's going to be fun and whatever. But now it feels like they have to take, they have to complete the tank apocalypse by getting Vic. But I don't think they deserve Vic because they act, Danny, they actually have a team that's good and I think could be fun.
Yeah, I think so too.
But they just,
but could you imagine?
But they shut Chet down. They just, the two other guys they drafted are in the like in their top other two picks.
If they get Chet and Vic, it would we're going to see 2 7-footers doing step-back threes.
It'd be funny as shit. It'd be wild as shit to see them play together.
And you know what we're not going to see?
What?
A calorie on that team.
Not
those guys are going to be sticks and bones.
I don't know, though, man. Vic is kind of built.
I can forget he is 18.
He's got, like, good body on him already for a guy that is long and slender like that. He just needs to make sure he doesn't get too big and then the knees are kind of... Go get away from
a windstorm.
Yeah. Under over under here is 23.5 for them. They, I think, have the lowest win total in the league. Other than the Spurs? No, I think I'm lying. I think the Spurs, yeah. Spurs have 22.5. So they have the second lowest win total. They're tied for the second lowest win total in the league. They get Chet. They get Jalen Williams and Jalen Williams. They get the one from Arkansas, the one from Santa Clara. I think both are solid, especially the Santa Clara kid. I think he's really good. Free SGA, I guess, if this team is never going to be serious. But I love a lot of the pieces on this team, man. I hate that they shut Chet down. I know it's kind of a scary thing, but...
Well, you gotta shut him down, man. Maybe he'll come back and play late.
I love a lot of the pieces on this team, and I just hope that next year, no matter who they get, whether it's Vic, if it's Scoot, if it's any of these other kids coming out, like Amari Bailey, something like that, I really hope they finally actually start trying to fucking win, man, because Presti's a genius, and he makes great moves, and he's actually built a roster that I think is nice and has good players, like SGA and Giddy. I think they're both really good, and Lou Dort's a solid player, and Darius Bazley's improving, and Pokuševski's always going to be a fun little mystery, and Chet, I think, can be a pretty solid NBA player.
Do they all stick it out, though?
The only one right now is SGA. It's kind of like they're holding him hostage almost because I think he's really good. We both think he's at worst, what, one of the 35 best players in the league?
Yeah, at worst.
He's really good.
What is he, 24?
He's somewhere around there, yeah.
24, 25.
He's really good, and he deserves to be on a winning team, and I will hope this team eventually wins. I'm going to go under because, again, as you just said, if the goal is to suck, no one does it better than the Thunder. I'm going to go under here, and I hate it because I really want this team to start – you know, doing
flipping
things.
The switch.
Yeah, because they got enough good guys that they've drafted and put together that they should be taking the next steps instead of doing all of it at once whenever they get their final boss, which is Vic. But
do the Thunder have the most in-store credit of all time?
That's a great question. In-store credit. That's a bold, bold, bold little proclamation.
I think so, man. I think they got a Kohl's card. They just got their whole paycheck on that hoe.
That's a lot. I'll say yes to answer your question.
I'm going under.
All right. Kohl's cash. Who's got Kohl's cash?
Not that's what we need to call them.
Yeah.
That's all they have.
The Oklahoma City Kohl's cash.
There you go.
I like that. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with. We'll be back as we head to Target. This episode is brought to you by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill in Moline and Davenport. Chase away your Sunday scaries at Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill this season. Located in the Belgium neighborhood of 7th Street in Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sunday, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up 75-cent wings and $4 Bloody Marys all day. And is your favorite team playing in those out-of-market games? Well, you'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. And after you've had your wing and bloody fix, finish off your football watching experience with one of their famous Quad City style pop pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC style pies for the last 22 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline. And also, Clint's is now serving up their famous pizza and fried chicken on the Iowa side of the river as well. Clint's Pizza House and Chicken opens up daily at 4 p.m. so everyone in the Quad Cities can enjoy their QC-style pizza and Henny Penny fried chicken. That's Clint Pizza House and Chicken, 7th Street Moline, and 1601 West 3rd Street in Davenport. Welcome back to Supermarket Mania. Are you going to come up with any more fancy names for these teams?
I don't know, man. I was on fire at that section. We had a lot of bangers in that joint.
If the Thunder are Kohl's cash, what's the Memphis Grizzlies?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. I was trying to think of something, but I couldn't figure it out.
I was just thinking of Young Dolph.
Yeah, RIP. A legend, bro. All right. Let's talk about those Memphis Grizzlies. They are coming off of a really good season. They were the 2 seed in the West. They lost in 6 to Golden State. Nothing to be ashamed about. Their win total over-under is 48.5. And they have the tied for 11th best odds to win the title, plus 2,500, plus 1,000 to win the West, plus 105 to win the Southeast, minus 600 to make the playoffs, plus 195 to make the play-in. Only real losses are some pretty important ones. They do lose Kyle Anderson. They lost De'Anthony Melton to the Sixers. They do add Danny Green, but I don't really know exactly what his timetable will be considering he got hurt in the playoffs last year. And
oh, yeah, he got big hurt.
He blew his knee out again in Game 6 of the Sixers-Heat series. The two guys they drafted are guys I like, and we know they are willing to implement young guys into their rotation. Jake LaRavia, Wake Forest kid, and David Roddy from Colorado State, two guys I like a lot. They also drafted Kennedy Chandler. He could be a solid backup point guard for them. So those are some spots that I like. This Memphis team, I think, is going to be fun and really good, and I think they're going to learn from some of the things that happened last year. I don't know exactly what the next step is for them. What is going through your mind?
What's the dude's name?
Jake LaRavia.
Okay.
What'd you think I said?
I thought you said Jake La...
Never mind.
LaRavia.
Yeah. Jake LaLavia?
Yeah.
Could you imagine? No, Jake LaRavia.
Poor guy.
I know. It's a cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. LaRave, bro. He's the rave.
Yeah.
Just saying.
LaRaves. Yeah, that's better.
So, yeah, the Grizzlies, you fucking psychopath.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah. You're so dumb, man.
I wish you said that. I'm sorry. That's probably what it was.
The Grizzlies, I don't know what the next step is for them, but... Just gotta show up. You gotta get in where you fit in, right?
Yeah, you do.
Especially when you're the rave.
Yeah.
I fucking hate you so much. You gotta circle back.
Stop, bro. You're being too good about it.
Look, man, in all seriousness, again, I don't know exactly what the ceiling for this team is going to be. But I do think this, it's like, where do you take the next step, right? Because it feels like the Grizzlies maybe skipped steps. They went from a team that kind of hung around. Well, I guess you can't really say that, because they did go from, I guess I shouldn't say they skipped steps, because they went from bad team to a play-in team that technically missed in the bubble, then a play-in team that got in and lost, then a high seed, but still had to suffer that next level of loss.
I don't think they hit the middle ground. I don't think they were just a team with a lower seed.
They got in at the 8 seed 2 years ago in 2021.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But not like a 4 or 5. They basically skipped that and they went to the as a 2 seed and then got beat. But granted, the gap from the 2 to the 5 and the 6 last year was 2 or 3 games, but oh, I guess not really, because they had a pretty big lead on the 3, but regardless. So, I guess you can say this next step, you would think, in the order of operations, that's my bad, is a title, or at least being right there. I want to believe that that's the case. It's hard, but I want to believe that Ja, if he can stay healthy, can take that next step. I still love almost all the pieces on this roster. What do you think, man?
I think the biggest thing for them is getting Trey Jay back. I think 48.5 is a lot.
Especially if he's not going to be around till January.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not supposed to be coming back to the new year.
But
so I think I'm going to have to take the under.
But think about how good, though, they were without Ja last year.
Yeah, that's true.
But Triple J took that next step from, like, good player to really good, knows what he is player. The next step for him is to just eliminate the dumb stuff. The fouling out, getting 4 fouls in a quarter type of stuff.
I was about to say, I think he averaged the most fouls for
His next step. But he is taking those next steps. He struggled in stretches against the against the Timberwolves, I should say. But against the Warriors, man, he was awesome.
And can Desi Baynes continue to improve?
That is another thing, too. People want to say that he was overrated and it was an outlier. You mentioned that someone said it was an outlier because, bro, it was his second year in the league. Mm-hmm. How can you say it was a fucking outlier? I think he's really good, man. Now, maybe almost 20 a game is on the higher end for him. But I think he's going to be able to get good looks in that offense a lot. Here's the one thing I wish they would have done, man, and I'm being real. They were in the same type of spot as the Hawks and the Cavs to put together a multiple man trade to get like a 3-for-1 type of deal with picks to go get a DeJounte Murray, or who I think really would have fit this team, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
I love the Cavs. We'll obviously talk about them in part 2 when we do it. If this team got Donovan Mitchell, I would say this team could win the title.
I think you're kind of peeking into my mind right now, because you know me, I'm always about who are your best players and how far can they get you. Can you be a championship team when your second best player is D-Bane or
Jaren Jackson?
Yeah, or Trey J. We don't know yet. They're still so young.
We don't, but they
don't know who they are.
But they gave the Warriors hell.
Yeah, they did.
Last year. And they, in a back-and-forth game, they miss a game winner late. They win game 2 with Ja exploding. They lose game 3 because the Warriors missed about 5 shots the entire game. They lose game 4 without Ja in a low-scoring slugfest where a bad call went their way late, which pretty much ended the game for them. They house him in game 5, and then in game 6, they just ran out of gas. So I think that with Ja, they could have beat Golden State. I just don't – maybe it's just hard to be like, oh, Memphis, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies, title contender. But when you have a guy at the end of the day, if you have one of those – what do they say, man? It's a league where you need one of those X amount of guys. Right now, I think there's about 9 or 10 of them. Ja's one of them.
Yeah.
We saw that. He's an MVP-level guy. He's a guy that we saw lead them to big playoff wins. He's ascended to that level, and that alone is why I think this team is in the shortest of lists when we're talking about a title team. I do think that, all in all, 11th for them on the list of title favorites, because they're behind teams like the Lakers, way too low. Way too low, in my opinion. But you're going to go with the under? Even saying that, I don't think that's the wrong play, because with the under, 48 and 34 cashes.
I think that's about perfect.
What, 48 and a half?
Yeah.
It could very well be. I'm going to go over just to be different, but it's like you're slide under, I'm slide over. I think there's a world where they could be in that 2-seed or 3-seed range again with like 50-51 wins. I really feel confident about the Nuggets as the 1. And the Clippers somewhere between 2 and 3. And I think Memphis could very well be in that range with them. Either Memphis, I don't know about Dallas.
I will say this about them, too. It's not like they were being overlooked last year, but now they almost have a target on their back.
Maybe, because people are going to be like, oh, look at all that shit y'all talked. But the thing is, like, they can back
love,
it up.
They do love talking that shit down there.
They, they do, but they can back that shit up, though. It's not like a team that's scrappy with very average players. Like, they got dudes, man. They got absolute dudes, especially with the guy leading them. It's different for a team that does it that you know can't bring it, but they bring it. So that's what I like about them. They know who they are, and they represent what they are. And that's what I love about them so much.
They're a fun team, man.
Yeah, 1,000%.
And I've been to more Memphis Grizzly games than any other professional team.
That is fair. You have been to multiple Memphis Grizzlies games.
Shout out Will.
Shout out to Will. We need to mess around and find a way to go there this year.
We found out that they got the second pick when Will graduated, and he was more excited about getting job than graduating.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That had to be graduating college, right?
No.
Or high school?
Yeah, dude, he hasn't. How would that be college?
I guess you're right. I'm a knob.
Yeah.
I forget how young he is. All right. Moving on to, speaking of, I just mentioned the Dallas Mavericks. They made the conference finals last year with Luka Doncic being already one of the greatest players ever. That's just fact. Shout out to Nick Wright. Their over-under total is here is at 48.5, and I'm leaning under here because it's weird. All right, I say that now, but it's like there's a world where a lot of the stuff they do works, and then it's like, okay, why did I feel like they weren't going to be better than initially I thought? Because they're also tied for 11th at the same odds, 2,500 to win the title, plus 1,200 to win the West, plus 145 to win the division, minus 520 to make the playoffs. I think this team's a playoff team, plus 140 to make the play-in. They could be somewhere from that 5 to 7 range, so possible play-in scary. I like the Christian Wood move, but is he going to buy in and be a winning player? That's what I worry about. JaVale, I like that. Nice little backup big for them. They don't have much there at center, so I like that.
I need to get his agent, man. He just goes to winners.
And he does. I love the Jaden Hardy draft pick move. Please, Jason Kidd, make him a rotation player because I think he is going to be special. I think he's a special player. And the fact that he fell to 37 for them to get him, it was wild to me. They lose Jalen Brunson. They lose Boban. Everyone tripping about the Jalen Brunson thing. I'm not, Danny. I'm not really worried about it because I think it would have ruined them for the future.
You kind of did a 180 on him then.
What do you mean?
I know at first you were saying they had to re-sign him and they were dumb if they didn't. I like the addition of C. Wood. I think they're two of the best pick and roll. They're going to be one of the best pick and roll duos that they had. They haven't played with a guy like each other yet.
No.
So I think that's going to be good for them. I don't know too much about Hardy.
Hardy is a kid that at the time, when he came out of high school and went to the G League, he was one of the top kids in his class. And went to the G League and kind of struggled a little bit. But he's showing flashes. And in the preseason, he's been playing really, really well. And I just, you watch his tape, you know, like, he's got stuff. He just needs to get it ironed out. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think he has a chance to be a really solid player in this league. And I really love that he went to Dallas because I feel like he can be used in a limited role but actually be able to produce. Looking at their team as a whole, they also get Tim Hardaway back this year after getting hurt last season. They'll still have Reggie Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith. The Jalen Brunson thing, I understand. I was on that for a second. But I do agree the take of it'll hurt them. It'll tie their hands behind their back for the future to where they can't actually go out and try to attack and get a better number two guy. So that is why I'm okay in the long run. I'm mad in the short run, okay in the long run with the fact that they let Jalen Brunson
And Spencer walk. Dinwiddie was hurt down the stretch too, wasn't he? Or am I tripping?
No, he played. Played in the playoffs.
Then I'm thinking of...
You were thinking of Tim Hardaway, I think.
Yeah, then I'm thinking of Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, he got hurt, and that's kind of what triggered them to go to unleash the, you know, the Kristaps move to get Dinwiddie and company and really just kind of go all in on the small ball because they didn't want or they needed extra depth at shooting. And Dinwiddie played a really big role. I mean, he was the second best player for them in that game against the Suns when they won by a bunch, so in game 7.
He's good, man.
He is good.
He's a good player. Here's my thing about their over. If Luke is going to start rattling off MVPs,
it's got to start. He's got to win one eventually,
it's
right?
It's got to happen soon. And I think you got to win more than 48 games.
Okay.
48 and a half.
So if you're so does this mean your prediction for MVP would be Luka? And in that world,
I think that's what he's going to go for. But I've been betting on Luka to win MVP the last couple of years now.
Since we came back from the pandemic where he had that really good series against LA and lost.
Yeah.
We've been kind of waiting for it.
Well, you know, we're such Luka's fans, man. We think he's going to, if he stays course, which we hope he does, knock on wood, we think he can end up in the top five.
All time.
Yeah. He's already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You got to remember, guys, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Dude won a league MVP in the second toughest league in the world at 17.
Yeah.
Not easy, folks. Not easy. And his playoff numbers already, he is next to Wilt, Jordan, LeBron as first of or only guys that are in his caliber.
And he could average a triple-double this year, which is – that's the only way you're a good basketball player is if you get a triple-double now. So,
yeah, no shit. So are you going over?
I am going over.
I'm going to go under just because I have to have – I got to find unders on my card somewhere before we cash, or I know it'll be lopsided. So to try to be as legit as I can be, I need an over – or I need an under.
For every over?
Because I'm going to steal an over right here.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. The New Orleans Pelicans.
Spoiler. Yeah, they're low, aren't they?
44.5.
Okay.
Danny Peel.
Yes, sir.
This is the 2021 Phoenix Suns all over again. All over again. From team that has this hot, crazy finish to the season. The Suns just missed the playoffs. The Pelicans somehow storm their way into the playoffs and take the Suns to 6 games. They're now getting a potential top 15 player in the league back at his peak. Healthy, in shape, already adding to a high-level number two guy in Brandon Ingram.
Better shape. Not even in shape because he hasn't been in the shape yet.
44.5 is, just in my mind, criminally low. Plus 4,000 to win the title, they have the 15th best odds. Plus 2,400 to win the West. Plus 350 to win the division. Minus 205 for the playoff. Minus 115 for the play-in. I love this team. I love this their depth. They can beat you in so many ways. Jose Alvarado is making the step as a legitimate high-level point guard in the league. And when that, the more that happens, the more that means they won't have to play Devontae Graham big minutes because I think he is a black hole. And Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, the Larry Nance trade, or the Larry Nance move, to get Larry Nance, I should say, packaged in the C.J. McCollum deal. All of those things. C.J. willingly signing an extension, saying, I'm in here in New Orleans. I'm going to stay. And committing to this group. There are a billion things I love about this team. I love Willie Green as a coach. I think this is the. I think this might be the easiest over to hit. Do I think they're going to go like the Suns and go all the way to the finals? No. But I think this team is absolutely going to be one of the five best teams in the West this year in the regular season. I think Zion is going to flirt with first team all NBA. It will if his numbers are anything what they were in 2021 when he played, I think in a 62 game season, I think he played 48 games or 50 games and he had 27 points on 60 something percent shooting
and like 8 rebounds.
His first team all NBA for him will be undeniable. He is going to be a sneaky MVP candidate if they are good enough. This team is going to be amazing. This team is taking all of the right steps, Danny. Am I crazy?
I think they might be my favorite team to watch this coming year just because of how many guys they had that you all touched on. I think Herb Jones is going to have contention to be an all-defensive player because he's going to have a lot of guys to guard.
He is so good too, man.
He is good.
Oh, my God.
Not only that, they have they drafted our boy. EJ Liddell.
Oh, EJ Liddell. Yep. Dyson Daniels, too, the kid from Australia that he's got some really nice game. So both of them could be rotational guys.
I think they're going to be really fun to watch, and I think they have a lot of guys that are buckets. Like you said, Zion. I mean, he put up one of the most efficient 27 points ever and being, what was he, 21, 22 when he did that?
Yeah.
They got CJ. I love CJ's game. That guy's a walking bucket. And they got B.I., man. And B.I.'s, even though he's looking homeless, man, he scores like he's in the penthouse.
B.I. last year, the thing that was so impressive, it was kind of the same thing with Jason Tatum. You can see the game slowing down for them, where they're making decisions better, where they're able to control the ball, and they can understand where everybody is at, and they make the right decision, where it's to shoot, dribble to the right spot, drive, pass, all of those things. B.I. making all of those right decisions. We get to see Zion come back. And people might be worried, oh, that means you're taking the ball out of B.I.'s hands. Zion doesn't need the ball like that.
Right.
You can give the ball to Zion in any spot to make it happen. You can still run the offense and team through Brandon Ingram. And I think that's what they're going to do. They have absolutely nailed every draft pick. And it is not a too many mouths to feed thing because all of these guys know their role. Herb Jones, elite defender. Jose Alvarado, pest slash distributor at the point guard. We already talked about B.I. and Zion. Trey Murphy, a 3-and-D guy.
We haven't mentioned Valanciunas yet. He was eating against the Suns, man. All you could eat.
Talk about win-win trades. The Valanciunas for Steven Adams, plus the picks that were involved, which landed the Grizzlies' Zaire Williams, who's really good, a good role player for them. I expect him to have a really good season. Valanciunas, too, like, and then with Larry Nance as well, they've got guys that they got at least one or two guys at almost every position, man. I love this team. I love the over here. This is, like, just the fact that it's this low, I think 50 wins is on the table for them. And I think they're going to finish in, they're going to be in the 4-5 spot, I think, at worst.
Yeah, I'd imagine. 4-5. I think that's real low for them. What was it?
44.5 was 44? The total.
Yeah, that feels too low.
And you're going over here?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now to two teams that, again, two more teams in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. One is going to be hard to watch. The other I'm really excited for. Let's start with them first, the Houston Rockets. 23.5 is their win total. Obviously, all of their numbers betting-wise are not going to be fun. Let's talk about some of the guys they added. We know they lost Christian Wood and John Wall. But they add guys I really like. Free agent moves. They go out and sign Willie Cauley-Stein. They get Boban, Marquise Chris for some forward depth. And they go out and draft Jabari Smith at 3. And Tari Eason, a wing that I really like from LSU at 17. To add to this core with guys like Alperen Sengun, the big fella from Turkey that people really are starting to like, and I think he's got a nice potential to be a starting center in this league. He has a really nice game, Peel. I don't know if you've seen much of it.
I've seen a little bit.
But he's got some skills.
Not as much as I'd like to.
Kevin Porter is starting to figure it out, though I hope they kind of find a way to work the minutes with him and the guy I'm about to talk about to where both of them can kind of control the game and get their game off in separate moments. And, of course, a guy who eventually, just because of his style and how he carries himself, will eventually be one of my favorite players in the league, and that's Jalen Green.
Yeah, he's a dog, man.
He's really good, man.
He's fun to watch. He's got a lead foot. Yeah. Put it like that.
He is an absolute bucket. He's going to be, sooner than later, like a 26, 27 a game type of guy. That is his game, to an absolute T. And, I mean, the fact that you can get a guy like Jalen Green, obviously, you know, the question was, will always be, did they maybe miss it on him instead of Mobley? I don't think so, because I think Green is still really good, even though Mobley, I think, is a future top 10 player in the league. I mean, I think the world of Evan Mobley. You know that. But for Jalen Green, I think he's an absolute star. And his style on this team is going to be fun to watch. And when you look at Jabari Smith, there's a lot of stuff that worries me about him. But the stuff that I like, man, that I have seen, I think he can be a solid spot-up shooter. His issues are obviously ball handling, but I think on this team early, he's not going to have to worry about that. I think overall, if he can kind of mold himself into a 3-and-D guy, because he's shown in the preseason and we saw it in Summer League.
He's going to be a tall 3-and-D guy, because what is he,
6'10"? 6'10". With his length and his ability to move, he can be a really good defender in this league. I love the way this team can operate, and I'm starting to really buy into their ceiling more and more down the road than I was like at the beginning of last year, because I didn't see it. I wasn't too sure on Jalen Green. I wasn't too sure on some of the stuff they had. But now here, a year removed from then, I'm like, okay, I understand the vision. This year's going to be rough, but there's still going to be so many more. There's going to be a lot of moves in the right direction for this team all year long, even if it's not winning games.
I think that's one of the best things about Jabari Smith is he doesn't need to be a ball handler right now because they got Kevin Porter, they got Jalen Green. They got guys that can create shots for others. And if he's just going to stand in the corner, shoot a high percentage from deep, and lock down the team's best defender, that's what you want.
If you can get a guy like Smith at three who can already understand his role and maybe, you know, oh, you don't want to take a 3-and-D guy at pick three. At the end of the day, you want to draft these guys and hope they fit your roster.
Exactly.
In the long term. You already got the superstar-level guy in Jalen Green, and hopefully the next guy, we'll get to him in a second. So for Jabari Smith, I think the future of him, if this team is a winning team in the next 5 years, which I think they really could be, it could very well be that 3-and-D wing guy, which also Tari Eason, another guy I like, too, from LSU. I wanted the Bulls to get him, but he went right before the Bulls pick. So I'm excited to see this team this year. They are absolutely on the watch list for League Pass this year, and I'm excited to see them play. And they are one of my two teams that I am on the I want Victor Wembanyama on this team club.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. That'd be a good fit for him.
It would be. They deserve him. I think they have really done. Of all the teams that are in the spot that they're in, outside of the Pacers, which is probably the second team I want to see him to the most, the Rockets have done it right. They understood where they were at. Harden forced his way out, so they traded him. They didn't get the greatest haul for him, but they got enough to where they are building where they are now. And I think they deserve to get Vic. They deserve it in the most, I think, in the West. They're the team by far in the West that I want to see him on the most.
Yeah, I think he'd have one of the best fits there. But in terms of Vic, like in terms of what I want for Vic, mm-hmm. it's going to be this next team we talk about.
Okay.
And I know you hate that team, but it's okay.
I don't hate them because I'm actually – they might not be League Pass blacklisted this year. The Jazz might be because I bet after a week we're going to be like, God, this team is impossible to watch.
I don't know, man. I think we're going to –
this team might not be because they got dudes I really like.
I'm going to defend the Jazz. I think we're going to watch Jordan Clarkson dribble Hezegod 6-7 times and pull up from 28.
Could be. Okay, real quick. Over under 23.5 for the Rockets.
I'm going under, man. You're tanking.
Okay. I'm going to go over slightly. I think they're going to be somewhere in the 25, 26. They're going to be still bad, but also take that next step. They were the worst team in the league last year, record-wise. I think they improve. I think they were under 20 wins. I think they improve by 4 or 5 games, which I think will get them to flirt with the over. And I'm going to take a chance here and say they go over. Might be my ballsiest overpick.
I don't know, man. I kind of like it.
But there's good reasoning behind it.
I think they're going to have guys that want to prove themselves, so I can see them going over, getting 24 dubs. It's just so hard this year, man, with everybody trying to be bad.
I don't think that's the case. I think you have...
You don't think they're trying to be bad?
I think you have 3 teams in each league at most. All right. I think they're trying to be... I don't think for them they're trying to be. I think they just will be because they don't have the experience and like the Highland tap. The guys that we know are going to eventually be good, they're not there yet. So, like, in the West, Utah, Oklahoma City, Houston and San Antonio, that's it for, like, teams that we feel are tanking. And in the East, in my mind, it's Hornets, Wizards... Hornets, Wizards, and Pacers. Now, you could maybe add the Pistons and the Magic in there, but I think those two teams are absolutely in the realm of being a possible play-in team.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think that's why I don't think they're teams that are going to be tanking. They might be down there because they're just not as good, but I think those are certain teams that are going to be improving. All right, let's talk about the Spurs. I think this is actually going to be the team with the worst record in the league. It's either going to be them or Utah. So I'm nailing under 22.5 here because I think they probably finish with under 20. And I hate it for Pop because this could be his last year.
Did you see what he said the other day, though?
What did he say?
They said, what keeps you coming back?
Yeah.
He said, my paycheck.
So maybe, maybe. But, and maybe he wants to see, the, what if he gets reinvigorated if they get Vic? And he's like, oh, I can stay for this.
I hope so, man. I hope. The Spurs just develop guys differently.
It'd be something, right?
Yeah.
It'd be something to see. I just feel like they...
And they always get the foreigners.
Yeah. That is true. There's that French connection, Tony Parker. So, that could be a thing. Some wee-wee. 22.5 wins. Or 22.5 is their total. I think they go under. Obviously, they trade to DeJounte Murray. They lose Lonnie Walker. They get, though, again, guys I like. Jeremy Sochan from Baylor. Love him. Malachi Branham. I think he's going to be really good. Blake Wesley. I think if he would have stayed, he'd be a top 10 pick next year. And like a player of the year candidate from Notre Dame. He's a true freshman. Was really starting to find his game at the end of the year. And I really love his game. My reasoning, though, even though they got guys I like, those three mostly, there's just not much after that. And that's why I think this team is destined for 18 and 60, whatever the hell that was. 64. 18 and 64.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if anybody can get the job done and taking and resting guys and, you know, just doing the job, I think it's Pop.
So you're saying we're going to see the Pop. You're saying this year we're going to see Pop's best season in losing?
I hope so.
Pop is going to navigate the waters of being the best of a tanking season better than any coach has ever done it.
I think Pop's just one of the most blunt people there is.
Well, I do think he...
So I think he can just talk to people and convince them, like, hey, guys, I know we're a professional team, but let's not be.
Well, I think, too, like, it's legitimate, like, tanking, but they're also just not putting out guys that are going to be able to win on a nightly basis at the NBA level yet. And, look, at the end of the day, they did the right thing. They absolutely made the right move in punting on the future and getting draft capital.
They didn't have much of a future with them, so yeah, they did have to.
So are you with me here on the under?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That is going to do it for the Western Conference, part one. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back to wrap up part one and then have part two next.